You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
The Vietnam War, it's over.
Your job's just begun.
A new HBO original limited series.
Welcome to the world of spycraft.
Strap in.
From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr.
What are you concealing?
Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
What if I told you that I was a communist spy?
How did you become this?
The Sympathizer, streaming April 14th on Max. Subscription required.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Billboard Pop Shop Podcast. I'm Keith Caulfield, Senior Director of Billboard Charts.
And I'm Katie Atkinson, Billboard's Deputy Editor Digital.
Hello, Katie. How are you?
I'm doing great. How about yourself, Keith?
I'm all right. It feels like, I'm recording from a different location than normal, so maybe I sound different. Maybe I don't. I'll find out later when I edit this. And secondly, I suddenly got the sniffles, which makes me think, oh, great, allergy season is upon me.
Yeah, it's about to be summer. There it is.
Super excited by pollen. Well, as always, the Billboard Pollen Shop Podcast is your one-stop shop. Hey, for all things pollen.
I don't want to host that one.
No, I don't. Brought to you by Claritin.
Right.
On Billboard's weekly charts. In addition, you can always count on a lively discussion about the latest pop news, fun chart stats and stories, new music, and guest interviews with music stars and folks from the world of pop. Today on the show, we've got chart news on how Lil Baby and Lil Durk make a little news at number one on the Billboard 200 albums chart, how BTS's Butter is solid at number one on the Billboard Hot 100 for a third week, Bad Bunny's new single debuts straight into the top 10 on the Hot 100, and Dua Lipa's Levitating floats to number one on the Pop Airplay chart.
Plus, we're talking about four brand new songs from a quartet of female pop stars that all dropped last week. We've got new music from Lorde, Megan Thee Stallion, Doja Cat, and Kylie Minogue to talk about, so stick around for that. But first, before we get started, if you enjoy the podcast, subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast provider so you won't miss an episode. And if you want to explore more podcasts from Billboard, visit billboard.com/podcasts.
Okie doke, let's do the chart chat. First up on the Billboard 200 albums chart, Lil Baby and Lil Durk's collaborative album, The Voice of the Heroes, debuts at number one, scoring the former his second leader and the latter his first. The album bows with 150,000 equivalent album units earned in the U.S. in the week ending June 10th, according to MRC data, driven nearly entirely by streaming activity of its songs. The hip-hop set, which was released on June 4th, also boasts guest turns from four artists, and all four of those artists have had their own number one albums. Travis Scott, Meek Mill, Young Thug, and Rod Wave. So it's just a big number one party there on this
Indeed.
Album. Next up, Butter is still number one on the Billboard Hot 100 for a third week in a row, thanks to another big sales week for the track. BTS's single sold 138,000 copies across all of its five different versions in the week ending June 10th. Its original release, an instrumental, and three remixes, and all of them were priced at 69 cents each. Meanwhile, as the two other metrics that power the Hot 100, streams and airplay, Butter is down 19% in streams, while its airplay grew 10% in the week ending June 13th. The song is number one on the digital song sales chart, falls 10 to 19 on the streaming songs chart, and rises 32 to 28 on the radio songs chart.
Is that instrumental version like for all your karaoke needs?
I mean, I guess it could be.
Or, you know, creating your own version of it. I don't. That's awesome. I didn't know that was like part of this story. There you go.
Rounding out the top three on the Hot 100 are Olivia Rodrigo's former number one, Good For You, which is number two, and Dua Lipa's Levitating featuring DaBaby, which is number three. Speaking of levitating, the track floats its way to number one on the Pop Airplay chart, rising 2 to 1. The track debuted on the list, dated October 17th, 2020, initially peaked at number 4 in January, then fell off the chart in March, basically becoming a recurrent hit because it was declining and going down the chart, only to see a TikTok-fueled revival, which brought the song back onto the pop airplay chart in May.
And I love this.
And it's since then just gotten bigger and bigger, and it hits number 1 this week on pop radio. Levitating is the third number 1 on the pop airplay chart from Dua's Future Nostalgia album, making the set the first album with 3 number 1s on this chart in over 5 years. Selena Gomez's Revival was the last album to generate 3 number 1s on the pop airplay chart between 2015 and 2016. All right, well, lastly, back in the top 10 on the Hot 100 chart this week, Bad Bunny bounces in at number 10 with Yonaguni, I believe is how we pronounce it, capturing his 4th top 10 hit and his first as a solo unaccompanied act. His 3 previous top 10 hits were all collaborations with other artists. Yonaguni. Yonaguni. This will become second nature to us after the song is just, after it becomes a humongous hit over the next few weeks. We'll just become second nature.
It's Spanish and Japanese language, right?
Yes.
In there? Yes.
Yeah, I think the majority of the song is in Spanish. There is some parts in Japanese, like the name of the song itself.
For instance.
It was powered mostly entirely by streaming activity in its first week, with 27.3 million U.S. streams. And the track also debuts at number 2 on the streaming songs chart, number 18 on the digital song sales chart, but doesn't quite have enough airplay to reach the radio songs chart yet.
Yet.
You just wait.
All that chart chat has me thinking about some new chart contenders, because last week was a very busy one for new releases from some of our favorite female pop stars. Let's take a closer look at 4 of these new songs. And the first one is Lorde's Solar Power. This is the first new music from Lorde since her 2017 album Melodrama, and things are much sunnier this time around, and there's a video to match.
Puns.
The strummy new song definitely has a laid-back summer vibe, which is not what you probably are used to thinking of with Lorde, but the buzzy video sees her in a 2-piece yellow ensemble prancing around the beach, surrounded by what seems like a commune of fellow ladies, or it could be a cult. I don't know. They're carrying her like on a stretcher in one thing. And she has a great lyric where she says, "I'm kind of like a prettier Jesus." So I think she's leaning into that, the cult leader vibe.
I'm glad that you pointed it out, because I didn't want to necessarily voice that opinion, but it did feel very like commune.
People are wearing
burlap colored outfits.
Yes, except for Lorde.
Except for
in
Lorde,
her yellow.
She's the leader.
She's the center of it.
Yes. Not the leader, the center of the action.
A lot of comparisons were made to Midsommar, which is a horror movie. So
yes.
I don't think it goes that direction, but who knows? We haven't heard anything else from the album yet, so maybe things get darker. But she also announced that her next album will be called Solar Power as well, though she has not yet announced a release date. This was like just such a huge like lightning rod release. Like Twitter lost their minds. I think between the
Does
song
Twitter ever not lose their mind at something.
That's fair. Between the song being a sonic departure for Lorde and the video being so just easy to talk about, there's a lot going on there.
Yeah.
My favorite meme from it, actually, it overlaid a Humira like prescription ad over the video.
Okay.
And it looked like, when people are just having so much fun in those like prescription advertisements, like, look at what your life can be on Humira. You too can be Lorde on a beach in a yellow outfit.
All you have to
outfit.
Do is just take a couple pills on the new solar power project.
Exactly. That was definitely probably the most talked about one last week, but contending for that.
How did the chatter from this next thing not out outshine Solar Power.
Maybe outshine. There we go. Mm-hmm. Maybe Lord releasing on Thursday was a smart move, because this one that came out at midnight, which is Megan Thee Stallion's Thought Shit. Very fun song, but this one is like 100% about the music video. The clip stars a senator character who leaves angry sexist comments on one of Meg's music videos. All of a sudden he gets a call from the stallion herself, and she puts him in his place, and then his entire life is transformed, where everything he sees is all just like twerking ladies. We've got garbage truck drivers, grocery store workers, diner wait staff, police officers, all ladies, all twerking. And it is incredible, all to end in a just
bonkers
absolutely
ending.
I honestly, like, I was watching the whole video, I was loving it, feeling the whole thing, and then I could not have predicted how it all ended.
I was not
did you need a warning?
I didn't know what was happening at the end, and I was like, what are they doing, what's happening, what and then that I was absolutely not expecting at all. So yeah, it's eye-popping. It's a lot.
There's actually a great behind-the-scenes video that came out. I'm not sure if it was just yesterday, but that's when I saw it on Sunday. And it's got one of the cameramen who shot the video, and he's doing this, like, point-of-view shot where he's got a camera kind of, like, attached to his shoulders, and he's filming one of the twerking ladies' rear ends, and he's moving around to, like, keep up with her moving, and then you see the, like, half second shot from the video that it created, this, like, you know, booty point of view. It's like, but this guy had like the greatest day of work ever. You could tell he was loving life and he was just trying to keep up with her, and it was kind of great. So
it's hard to keep up with the booty.
It's hard to keep up. Yeah. Next up, we had a new release from Doja Cat called Need to Know. It's our latest peek at Planet Her, which is Doja's next album, coming out June 25th. And she continues the whole extraterrestrial theme with this one. In the video for the very saucy song,
I think that's subtle. Yeah, that's a low key way of describing the track.
I mean, after seeing the Megan video, all of a sudden the Doja like lyrics seem super tame, I think. But in the video, Doja goes out on the town. I mean, out on the planet or whatever, with her alien girl gang, and meets a handsome stranger. Shares some smoky shots with her girls. They're like, everything's very, you know, otherworldly.
It's very Ten Forward on Star Trek Next Generation. It's all very like, so, what brings you to town, purple-skinned man? You know, it's very
her odd. Skin's green, his hair's blue. It's all very Jetsons, and it definitely follows in the Kiss Me More vibe that she and SZA set up with her last video. So I think we'll have to wait and see what more we'll see of Planet Her before the release on June 25th. And finally, we have Kylie Minogue's cover of Lady Gaga's Marry the Night. As we discussed last week on the podcast, this is the latest cover song from the re-release of Lady Gaga's 2011 Born This Way album, which is now due on June 25th. That's a correction from last week. They updated the release date. Just so you know, June 25th. This is probably the most faithful cover of what we've heard so far from the tribute songs, which makes sense given that Gaga and Kylie, you know, are cut from the same disco cloth. Keith, Kylie is one of your faves. This one makes a lot of sense, doesn't it?
I mean, it does, but I think it would be fair to say that I was wildly surprised that this even existed, because I saw this come, like, I saw Kylie tweet at Gaga on Thursday night. And I'm like, what is Kylie tweeting at Gaga? Wait, Gaga quote tweeted her back? And it was like, basically like, you ready, Gaga? It's like, I'm ready, Kylie. I'm like, what are they doing? I did not think that it was going to be this, because I guess I just didn't automatically put Kylie into the who, like, what groups of folks from the LGBTQIA plus community. I didn't think of her in that space. Within the context of this particular project,
I think the press release that announced like who would be, you know, doing these tribute songs, it mentioned like supporters of that community as well. And obviously, there's no Gaga and Kylie are massive allies for the community. So I think that she kind of left it open for not just people in the community, but also supporters of the community.
I mean, am I delighted by it? Yes, of course. Mm-hmm. I was surprised because I guess I hadn't really thought of Kylie in the mix. And so that makes me think, I'm like, well, goodness, like, could Elton John be on this covers project? Like, who in the world else could be on it? I don't know. But it was super fun to hear. Like, I guess I just didn't even think of it even happening. So it's really fun.
Yeah. Yeah. And I got the impression from some comments that I saw around the release that Kylie has expressed like interest in working with Gaga at some point, which makes sense again. So I love the idea that this is kind of like dipping their toe in and hopefully like a duet sort of situation could happen next, maybe.
Very crafty people on, you know, YouTube have already mashed up the two versions, the original Gaga version and Kylie's version. And it sounds, as you can imagine, pretty cool.
I'm sure that's a great fit. That's kind of the point. Like, you know, it would be challenging to do a mashup of Orville Peck's Born This Way with Lady Gaga's original because the styles were so divergent. But with this Marry the Night cover, it seems like it exactly fit for a duet. So,
well, also to be fair, you know, Gaga did do a sort of when she put out Born This Way, there was her own Country Road version, which was a countrified version.
Yes. And okay, that's so what that actually could be a beautiful duet.
Yes. So is that it?
Yeah, that's it.
Oh, okay.
Unless you want to talk more about Kylie.
No. We don't need to make this the Kylie show every week. That's just probably a bit much. Well, now it's time for the chart stat of the week.
And it's too late, baby, now it's too late, though we really did try.
On the Billboard 200 albums chart 50 years ago, Carole King's classic Tapestry album hit number one, rising 2-1 on the June 19th, 1971 dated chart. The album would spend 15 weeks at number one, all consecutive, and later win the Grammy Award for Album of the Year. Before Tapestry, King was a hugely successful songwriter, having written hits in the 1960s for other artists, including songs like The Locomotion, Up on the Roof, One Fine Day, and Pleasant Valley Sunday. By the way, The Locomotion later became a hit for Kylie Minogue.
I was going to say, was that intentional?
No, it wasn't, because I didn't know. I wrote this before I knew you were going to talk about Kylie and Gaga. King wrote or co-wrote all of the songs on Tapestry, including two tracks on the set that were earlier hits for others. Will You Love Me Tomorrow, which was a number one Hot 100 hit for the Shirelles, and You Make Me Feel Like a Natural Woman, a top 10 hit for Aretha Franklin. The album's double-sided hit single, It's Too Late, I Feel the Earth Move, so it's Too Late is one song, and I Feel the Earth Move is a second song, but it was the B-side back when we had 7-inch vinyl singles.
Ridiculous that those two songs were paired together on the same single.
Sure. it spent 5 weeks at number one on the Hot 100 chart, with It's Too Late going on to win the Grammy Award for Record of the Year. And 2 weeks after It's Too Late, I Feel the Earth Move fell from number one on the Hot 100, James Taylor took his cover of the Tapestry song You've Got a Friend to number one. Hey! King would land two more number one albums with the 1971 release Music and 1974's Wrap Around Joy. She most recently hit the top 10 with 2010's live album Live at the Troubadour, her collaborative set with James Taylor. So there you have it. 50 years ago, Carole King was queen of the Billboard 200 with Tapestry.
I feel the earth move under my feet. I feel the sky tumbling down.
God, that's a good album.
It's a great, great album.
And I feel like every like young woman songwriter currently making music, you know, it's like that's that album like unlocked for them, you know, like the code to like how to do this thing. You know what I mean? Like, oh, I can write these super personal songs that are also poppy and catchy. And it's just such a classic.
There's probably any number of songwriters who look at Carole King's career initially having success as a songwriter, while she was also, I think at the time, also trying to become an artist in her own right in the 60s, but the songwriting part was the thing that was really taking off. And I think there's probably a lot of writers that look at her career and say, gosh, I could do this. What if I could make my own Tapestry? Because, you know, there's so many writers that we know that for one reason or another, never go on to make their own album.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, sometimes it just doesn't work out. And sometimes you lightning strikes and you get a Carole King sort of tapestry out of it. That doesn't happen with everybody, even if you are an amazing songwriter.
That magazine article that I did that I think it came out last week, which was about a new artist named Jessia. She's signed to Ryan Tedder. And Ryan Tedder, when I talked to him about her.
Huge songwriter on his own. Yes. But also the front man for One Republic.
But he told me, he's like, I don't sign an artist who's not a writer and a writer who's not an artist. Like, he will only find the people that have both of those things inside of them, because I think there's probably something about that that unlocks, you know, a little more motivation and a little, you know, and not just wanting to be behind the scenes, but like wanting to say your own thing as well. So,
yeah. Also, you can be self-contained and you can, you know.
Speaking of Ryan Tedder.
Yeah.
I mean, you didn't ask me, but I guess usually you say any parting words and I share with you.
Feel free to give me your parting words, Katie.
Well, speaking of Ryan Tedder, Jessie J put out a new song on Friday
as well.
Friend
of the podcast, speaking Jessie J.
Yeah, so when I spoke with her, she was just working on this new music, and her next album is going to be entirely executive produced by Ryan Tedder. And
it's thought about this. It's like you wrote this in your head or something.
And here we are. The song is called I Want Love, and it came out Friday with this really fun lyric video where she's just driving through the Hollywood Hills, filming herself lip syncing to the song. So definitely check out the video. But it's called I Want Love, and it's of course big voiced. You know, what you expect from Jessie J, but it's a beautiful song. I love it.
Is that the song that we should go out on, clearly?
Yes, you've got to give them a taste so they'll go and listen to the whole thing.
All right, see you guys next week.
Bye.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.